This is Foolish Adventure, episode 47, the official debunking of some common business myths. Welcome to another episode of Foolish Adventure. I'm Izzy Hyman, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Tim Conley. Hello, Tim.
Yo, what's up, Izzy?
What is up, Tim?
Oh, not a lot. I'm just kind of been pondering a few things about myths about business.
Okay, that's what the show's about today.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence at all. That was very good. That was amazing. That transition right into the show itself.
I've been studying acting.
Have you?
No.
Improv?
It shows. It shows.
Yeah, and we're not funny, but we're laughing, even though we're not funny.
I think I'm funny.
I think you're funny, too. And, I think I'm funny, too. All right, well, let's just do this. Let's talk about myth number one. And the survey says myth number one is my biz is different. My business is different from other businesses. In other words, what applies? Yeah, I hear all these things that other people are dealing with their business, but my business is different. What's good for them isn't necessarily good for me, and what's bad for them isn't necessarily bad for me because my business is different.
And I've worked with hundreds of companies now, and I think I've heard that hundreds of times.
Yeah, where everybody says, okay, I like your idea, Tim.
But my business is different. That won't work in my business. And it's like, how do you know, right? Have you tested this in your business? And if it does work for other people and it's not working for you, then maybe it's not the system that's failing. You know, if it's worked for thousands of people and it's not working for you, maybe you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe. Not necessarily. Sometimes things just don't work right. But the idea is, I hear it all the time. My business is different.
I even said that to you. I remember saying that to you. Like right away, you were talking about something, and I think it was marketing. It was something about email marketing or something, and I said something Tim, I can understand why that would work with the so-and-so crowd, but for my audience, that just wouldn't, my situation's different. I think I said my audience or my situation's different, and it turns out that I was way wrong. that what works for other businesses also works for my business too.
And some people think that, for some reason, they think they're special. Like, the rules of the universe do not apply to me. And that's not true. It's like we're all unique. We're so unique. We're not that, we think that, well, I am going to be an exception to the rule. If all that marketing stuff works for those people, it's just not going to work for me. And my idea on how I'm going to build my business is going to work. And it's different from the way that actually has worked for hundreds of other, thousands and millions of other people. My thing is completely unique. And my situation is unique. You know, all these different things. Whatever you think is unique about your business probably isn't. Even if you've invented a brand new item, the parts of business necessary to sell that item are not unique. The people who are going to buy your product, they're not unique.
I like what Brian Clark says about Brian Clark, the one of the founders of Copyblogger. And I think I heard him say, I listened to his podcast, Internet Marketing for Smart People, okay. Radio. Very good show. Recommend it for everybody. But I like what he says, where he says, you know, this stuff's been around for, you know, hundreds of years, thousands of years. Influence and, you know, the ability to influence somebody to do something has been around. And he talks about Aristotle used it, you know, it's been around for a long time. So it's kind of funny that I would say something like, you know, those marketing techniques that so-and-so uses wouldn't work in my business because it's worked on humanity basically throughout time. It's been around forever. Okay, so there might be different names for different things, but the principles behind it, persuasion, you know, that hasn't really changed through the years so much.
Yeah, unless the people who's going to buy your product are not actually human.
Not likely.
You know, not likely. I don't know. Maybe somebody's got like a connection in, you know, in the next galaxy or something.
You can insert your own Charlie Sheen joke now.
Right. Unless you're a warlock, you know.
Tiger blood.
Okay. So if you're selling to humans, you're going to actually use the same things. The business is pretty simple. You know, you have a good product, good value, and then you persuade people that it is a good value and meets their needs and is going to be good for them, and hopefully it is, and then they're going to give you money for it, and you're going to give them a great product. And that's how it works. That's how simple it is. Now, if your business doesn't actually sell a product, well, that would be different. You know, that would be unique if you didn't make money. You never actually exchanged cash with anyone. That would be a unique way of doing business. I think it's called out of business.
Going out of business. Big joker today, Tim. Yeah. Second show. We're to that point.
Get punchy.
Do you want to go to the next myth?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is I have to have the perfect idea.
Yeah, that's the build the better mousetrap thing. It's been around forever. Like, if you build the better mousetrap, then that's going to be your key to success. The idea that you have to be unique, you have to do something that no one else out there is doing, or in that you can't sell it until it is perfect, or you can't get into that particular business because it's just not the perfect business for you.
So how does that juxtapose, I guess? Ooh, I just used the word juxtapose naturally.
Right.
I don't know. That might be a
in
first.
A sentence.
In a sentence. In like real life, too, not in an essay. But how does that juxtapose against this concept of having unique selling proposition?
Well, unique selling proposition is covering something that is like what makes your particular product different from all the other products in your market, right? So, which means your product's actually not that unique. So you're trying to find something unique about it. So even that doesn't make it the perfect product or the perfect business idea. You know, it's none of it is ever perfect. You look at Apple and their gigantic success that they've had over the last few years. And it's just like, well, Apple's perfect. Well, let's see.
No, they're not perfect. Nobody, right. I mean, even the biggest Apple fans like me, you know, we know they're not perfect. They mess up all the time.
Right. You know, and there's a huge kerfuffle and then, you know, they come out with a patch and everybody's happy again and ready to buy the next product that comes out 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's not perfect. No one ever is perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect business. There's no such thing as a perfect market. There, you know, it doesn't exist. And a lot of people use it as an excuse to not get started. So
I'm still trying to come up with the perfect idea.
Yeah, I've got to be unique. I've got to be different. Well, the best way to succeed is to mimic what's working. You know, a lot of people, we've had some people complain to us, and we've talked about it in previous episodes about, well, I don't want to use AWeber. Well, AWeber works, and it works for thousands upon thousands of businesses. Why not just go ahead and use it? Because it's not going to be perfect. AWeber is not perfect.
And you don't have to use AWeber, of course.
Right.
I mean, you could totally succeed without using AWeber, but people ask us, what tools? What
right.
tools should I consider? And the point of that in the past has been, you know, it's totally worked for us. Just I recommend use the same one we do. And then other people come back and say, well, you're telling people not to think for themselves. You know, that's not what we're saying. We're
right.
not saying don't think for yourself.
Because what we're teaching is how to succeed at whatever it is that you want, your business that you want to succeed at. And the fastest way to do that is to mimic success. So you can't be truly unique. And as I said just a few minutes ago, well, business isn't really unique. It's a matter of exchanging value with another person who wants to provide you with some either barter or cash or however you're exchanging that value. You give a great product, they give you money. That's business. And everything else that you add and throw on top of it, it does not make it more perfect. It just makes it more complex. So a lot of people try to think that complexity will make their business perfect. But if you fall into this myth of waiting for that perfect idea, that perfect business, that perfect product, whatever that perfection is, you will never succeed.
Another myth, a popular one, is that I need to make sure I'm choosing a good business because it's going to be what I spend the rest of my life doing. Because this company, this business I'm building is going to be what I do for the rest of my life.
And I'm just going to play the odds here. And the odds are you will be out of business in less than 5 years.
And when you say out of business, do you mean like out of business, like you went under, or do you mean that you sold your business, or?
Well, just- if you look at the SBA statistics, the Small Business Association or administration, they say essentially anyone who has not in business after 5 years, they call it just have failed. Okay. But it's not really proper accounting. So anytime you, that doesn't, those people who are no longer in business could have been bought.
They could have shut down that business and have another one.
Right. They could have voluntarily just shut it down. It could have even been making money and they just decided I'm not going to do that anymore. And then it's like my pool company. Well, that was that falls under that statistic. I sold it off, sold off all the parts of it and then closed the corporation. And that happened in 4 years. I built up a business and after 4 years I was done with it.
And it was successful. It was making great money.
I'm done.
Yeah,
and,
you were done.
And so statistically, the SBA would say that that business failed because it wasn't there after 5 years. But the odds are your business won't be there 5 years from now. And I'm saying that to try to discourage people. It's that you got to test. You know, everything you do in business is a test. And sometimes they don't work out the way we expect them to. So we want to just go through it as fast as possible. There's a cliche like fail forward, right? So if the perfect business doesn't exist and you just get into a particular business and you start iterating on that business and it's like, okay, this isn't working out right. And then I'm going to do something different with it. So maybe you use the same corporate structure. Well, maybe not. You may just close it down and start a different company. But you personally still exist, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. You're still going forward. You're still doing stuff. But your business, your baby, you know, and a lot of people treat it like that. Like it's something that they've got to nurture up until the time they die may not exist anymore. You know, 10 years later, you know, one out of 100 businesses is still around 10 years later. So the odds that you're going to do whatever it is that you're doing beyond 10 years from now is really slim.
Yeah. I guess it's like 99%. If only one in 100 is, then 99% chance, you know, it'll be something else 10
right,
years from now.
Right. It doesn't mean you have failed. If you just look at the statistics, they talk about that. It doesn't mean you've necessarily failed. You've just changed. You've done other things. You tested a product. You tested a business. It didn't work out the way you wanted it to. It didn't give you the things you wanted out of it. That could be it didn't make any money, or it could be that it didn't give you any life satisfaction. That's why I closed my pool company, was that I personally didn't enjoy it. So my life was more important than the actual cash I could make. So that's a major myth.
Another one is most businesses fail because of lack of capital.
Okay. This one I definitely wanted to pick because anywhere you read, the number one cause of business failure is the lack of capital. You can read that everywhere. And maybe those people are smarter than me, but out of all the businesses that I've known, the ones that struggled with money, it was seldom that it was because they had a lack of capital. They may have started off with very little money and they just didn't manage it properly.
Saying it's not lack of capital, it's lack of capital management. It's the way that they manage the money that they do have.
Right. Because some people spend it on things they don't need. Like in a very early episode, we talked about business cards. Like, you don't need them. You know, don't spend your money on it, especially if you're going to get into an internet business. Don't spend your money on business cards. Don't go out and buy a desk. Don't go out and buy a fancy computer. Don't go out and buy. It's like we've been trained in America and to some extent in the West that you can buy a solution to everything. And in business, it's not usually about buying your result. It's usually about creating your result. And money sometimes can assist in creating the result you're looking for. But in a lot of cases, it's your creativity, your ingenuity, your persistence, and maybe just flat out ambition is what will actually build your business, not the capital.
Another myth that we have here is work smarter, not harder. This is a cliche that I've heard a zillion times. I've heard it. You know, I used to know sales reps that would say, you know, right now I'm trying to figure out how to work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, that's essentially saying,
I'm going to chill for a little while. Yeah.
I don't know what to do, but I know I'm not liking all the work I'm putting in. So I'm going to say I'm going to sit around waiting till I find something smarter to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with that phrase. And that's why I said it's a myth in business, because you'll hear it from everyone. Work smarter, not harder. And
there is something to be said for thinking strategically. I mean, there's definitely less effective and more effective ways of doing things. And you would say the more effective way is the smarter way, right? So you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, I mean, there's definitely strategy. There's smarter, smarter, not harder. I guess that in itself is not really, that's not really always true.
Yeah, and sometimes the smart thing is to work hard. The best thing you need to do
is... It's like they're opposed to at each other. In other words, they aren't really like... You know, on one side, they're smart. On the other side, there's harder.
Right. Well, because I think the phrase originally came from, you know, you look at the world and the people who work the hardest actually don't make the most money. You know, if working hard made more money... then, you know, the ditch digger would be the wealthiest man. But that's not how it works out. A manual labor does not get you wealth. And so the idea then is, well, if you work smarter than the guy digging the ditch, then you would be able to make more money. But that's not really the case, because each thing requires both hard work and a smartness about it. And when somebody says this cliche, you know, this business truism, work smarter, not harder, it doesn't mean anything, because the person's not actually giving you a strategy you could use. They're just telling you, well, whatever you're doing, you're saying it's not working, so therefore work smarter, not harder. Well, if I was smarter, I would not be working harder, right? So give me something that I can actually use. Yeah, and so that's the thing, is like sometimes people just use that phrase as a way to get lazy, you know, and I would say intellectually lazy, not just physically lazy, but just intellectually lazy, where, well, I'm just going to wait for that smart thing to happen, you know, and that's not actually being smart.
I think it's a good idea to be very smart and also work really hard. At least at the very beginning, when you're taking off and you're building, you know, trying to get it off the ground, work really hard. I mean, you might have some time later on, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, to be able to relax a little bit. But while you're building the thing, it takes that, you know, that major effort to get it off the ground.
It just popped in my head.
What's this?
How many successful people that have you met and you're like, that person's not very bright?
Oh, yeah. It happens a lot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I am so much smarter than this person.
Yeah, because you and I think that about a lot of... I mean, we think that everywhere we go. We're always like, we're so smart. We're the smartest people in the room.
I mean, I think everybody has this, where you run into somebody and you're like, I can't believe that person is so successful. And maybe that person was just having a kind of a dumb moment or something. But a lot of times we know them, like, you know this person and you're like, there's just no way that they were that successful. And what it comes down to was they didn't overthink it. Sometimes being the smart guy in the room is going to hinder you from your success, because you're going to sit there and overthink something. I'm looking for the smart way to do this, and I'm not going to do the hard way to do this. While this other guy over here, you're like, he's not very bright.
But he's getting stuff done. But he's doing things.
He's getting stuff done. So look how successful that guy is. So that's, you know, just popped in my head. You know, it's like, you know, you see them and it's just so frustrating. You're like, I know I'm smarter than that guy. Why am I not as, you know, why don't I have 25 gas stations around the area? You know, that kind of thing. You know, you're like, that guy's building a business. Well, how does it happen? He just does the work.
So now I'm talking to you, listener. You, as you're driving your car, or running on the treadmill, or mowing the lawn, or gardening, or cleaning your house, whatever.
Or if you're like me, just lounging around.
If you're just lounging around listening to this, drifting off to sleep. I'm talking to you. Do any of these myths resonate with you? If so, hopefully you found some of the information in this conversation valuable and that you can do something with it. Don't believe the myths. There's a reason why we call them myths. Don't believe them. In the meantime,
enjoy your foolish adventure.
Thanks for listening to Foolish Adventure. If you found this information helpful and want more like it, please visit foolishadventure.com. Do you have specific questions you'd like us to answer? Leave a comment on the website. Who knows? Maybe we'll create a whole show to answer it. Also, we have a voicemail line where you can ask questions. The number is 480-331-4695.